As we celebrate communion today, I would like to invite every born-again believer to participate. If you're not a born-again believer, please don't participate. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It seems today that people are looking for free things. It's all about what's free and what can I get free. The truth of the matter is there's no free things. Nothing is free. Salvation is not free. It's free to you. It's free to me. But there was a price paid for that salvation. Even though it's free to me, Jesus paid a horrendous price. Let's look at a couple things here. And why am I going to look at this here? Because the problem boils down to is when we think of free and somebody gives us something free, the human tendency is for us to place little value on it. This is why I didn't give my son a car. He earned the car. He bought the car. Because it had value to him. But I want you to realize the price that Jesus Christ paid. In Matthew 26:38-39, when Jesus went to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over and pray." And taking with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful and troubled." Then he said to them, and going a little further, he fell to his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will." Luke 22:44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus knew what was coming to come. He knew the prophecy. In fact, actually, it's sort of ironic or funny anyway. I've got Isaiah 53 here that I'm going to read. "Who has believed what has been heard from us? And whom has an arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our gifts and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his words we were healed. We are like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep that was before the shears was silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as far as this generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He was put he has put him to grief. When his soul makes the offering for guilt, he shall see his offering, and he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of anguish his soul, he shall see and be satisfied by the knowledge that he, knowledge, shall be righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet bore the sins of many to make intercessions for the transgressors. If we look at verse 7, he died, and he didn't say a word. He didn't open his mouth and say, oh, by the way, I'm innocent. He willingly died, knowing that in verse 10, that his father was going to crush him. He was going to take the wrath that every born-again believer deserves upon his shoulder. And the Father was going to take out his wrath for our sins upon Christ. This is not even, you know, to mention the idea that before he went to the cross, that he was beaten and scourged beyond recognition. Jesus paid that price for our free salvation. Will the ushers come forward here, and we'll pass out the elements. I just want you to, we need to, it says to remember his death. Remember the price he paid. Salvation is free to us, but with a horrendous cost. Now, we have a tendency to get into rituals and do things just repetitively. We have our Bibles. How many of them broke or opened up? And yet we see around the world where people don't have that freedom of the Bibles, and they hunger for the word. They take pieces of it and they memorize it as a group because they don't have that freedom. Let's look at it today and remember the price was paid and bear the fruit of repentance and a life that reflects his love. Go ahead and pass those out, if you would. It also tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that we need to evaluate. We need to rightly judge our lives. Okay, this is communion, and this is a common union between us and God. And what gets in the way of that common union, that relationship that we have with God? Oh, thank you. What gets in the way is sin. And as Tony spoke today, you know, we need to repent of our sins. So we need to evaluate where we're at with Christ right now and clear up all of that. God wants to hear from each and every one of us. He wants us to confess our sins to one another, but most of all to him, and repent and turn back to him. So if there's anything that is hindering you today in your relationship with Christ, take that before him. So I'll just let the people finish passing out the elements. Thank you. And it says in 1 Corinthians, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body broken for you. Take the body. And likewise, after giving thanks, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Take the blood, or the juice. Father, once again, we remember your death, and we proclaim your death and the sacrifice that you made on the cross. Father, we also acknowledge the great love that you poured out on the cross, and that it was your love that held you there. It was your love for your people that would be redeemed through your blood. Father, help us as we go forth today to be good witnesses. And Father, those that know you, to draw closer to you. And they'll walk and to bear much fruit. And Father, those that don't know you, to turn and repent and come to know you. That's our heart's desire, Father. We just thank you and praise your precious name. In Jesus' name, amen. And as Tony said, remember to join us back at 1 o'clock, and we'll start the the celebration of life for David. Thank you. Have a good blessed day.